Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So I have the great privilege of introducing our most illustrious speaker for today, His Grace Vishwaroop Prabhu. To many of us, Vishwaroop Prabhu needs no introduction. He has been a very integral part of this whole congregation. He has touched lives of many of us, directly or indirectly. Many of us are in this movement because of him or because of the devotees that he brought into the movement. So I'll speak something about him to introduce to those who don't know him and for our own purification. So he's been in the movement since 1984. He was initiated 25 years back in 1986. He's done his MBBS from JJ Medical. Post that, he has acquired many other qualifications related to the service that he's performing in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. He has done a fellowship in palliative care from San Diego University in the US. He has also done a diploma in psychological counseling. So he's a deputy director and head of spiritual care at Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Many of us know Bhaktivedanta Hospital is especially differentiated around the physical and spiritual care that it's being provided to all the patients who come there. So he heads that department. He's also, of course, been involved in the inception and the running of the hospice at Vrindavan. Also, he's a faculty in the nursing school in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. The Barsana Eye Camp that everyone, many of us would be aware of, which is now almost 20 years old. He is one of the people who founded that and started it and has been running it for last 20 years with great enthusiasm, serving thousands and thousands of Rajvasis. He's been a speaker on the Atma program, which comes on various spiritual channels. He's a counselor amongst the Radha Gopinath congregation. He's a counselor. And at heart, of course, he's a Brajvasi. The Brajvasis know him very lovingly and treat him very lovingly as one of their own. So we are very fortunate. He's a wonderful speaker also, as you'll see. And he also speaks, he does very wonderful kirtan. So we are greatly fortunate to hear from Vishwaroop Prabhu today. So let us express our deep gratitude to him by loudly chanting.
Thank you very much. I welcome all of you and I'm grateful to you to be here amongst you. Thank you very much. Today we will read from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1. Chapter 15, text 5, to continue with the series of Krishnaika Sharanam. And today's theme is Krishna's Grace, the Powerhouse. Vanchitoham Maharaja Harina Bandhu Rupina Yename Pahrutam Tejo Deva Vismapanam Mahat. Translation: Arjuna said, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who treated me exactly like an intimate friend, has left me alone. Thus my astounding power, which astonished even the demigods, is no longer with me. So this chapter is entitled as Pandava's Retired Family and also describes the very sad event in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which the devotees feel very bad to read, called Departure of Sri Krishna from this world. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, in the Bhagavad Gita 10.41, the Lord says, anyone specifically powerful and opulent in wealth, strength, beauty, knowledge and all that is materially desirable is to be considered but a product of an insignificant portion of the complete whole of my energy. No one, therefore, can be independently powerful in any measure without being endowed with the Lord, by the Lord. When the Lord descends on the earth along with his eternal, ever-liberated associates, he not only displays the divine energy possessed by himself, but also empowers his associates, devotees, with the required energy to execute his mission of incarnation. It is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4.5 that the Lord and his eternal associates descend on the earth many times, but the Lord remembers all the different roles of incarnations, whereas the associates by his supreme will forget them. Similarly, the Lord takes away with him all his associates when he disappears from the earth. The power and energy which were bestowed upon Arjuna were required for fulfillment of the mission of the Lord. And when his mission was fulfilled, the emergency powers were withdrawn from Arjuna, because the astounding powers of Arjuna, which were astonishing even to the denizens of heaven, were no longer required. And these powers were not meant for going back home, back to Godhead. If endowment of powers and withdrawal of powers by the Lord are possible even for a great devotee like Arjuna, or even the demigods in the heaven, then what to speak of the ordinary living beings who are but figs compared to such great souls? The lesson is, therefore, no one should be puffed up for his powers borrowed from the Lord. The sane man should rather feel obliged to the Lord for such benedictions, and must utilize such powers for the service of the Lord. Such power can be withdrawn at any time by the Lord. So the best use of such power and opulence is to engage them in the service of the Lord. I'll like to read one more purport, which is very relevant and significant, of text 21 of the same chapter. Arjuna says, I have the very same Gandiva bow, the same arrows, the same chariot drawn by the same horses, and I use them as the same Arjuna to whom all the kings offered their due respects. But in the absence of Lord Krishna, all of them at a moment's notice have become null and void. It is exactly like offering clarified butter on ashes, or accumulating wealth by magic wand, or sowing seeds on barren land. In purport, Prabhupada says, as we have discussed more than once, this is very nice, one should not be puffed up by borrowed plumes. What is plumes? Some fruit or something? Huh? Feathers, okay. All energies and powers are derived from the Supreme Source, Lord Sri Krishna, and they act as long as he desires and cease to function as soon as he withdraws. All electrical energies are received from the powerhouse, and as soon as the powerhouse stops supplying energy, the bulbs are of no use. In a moment's time, such energies can be generated or withdrawn by the supreme will of the Lord. Material civilization without the blessings of the Lord is child's play only. As long as the parents allow the child to play, it is all right. As soon as the parents withdraw, the child has to stop. Human civilization and all the activities thereof must be dovetailed with the supreme blessings of the Lord. And without the blessings, all the advancement of human civilization is like decoration on a dead body. Very powerful statements. Prabhupada is writing such powerful statements. It is said that here that a dead civilization and its activities are something like clarified butter on ashes, the accumulation of money by a magic, or sowing the seeds in a barren land. So just to get on the same page with the pastime that is taking place, Arjuna has gone to Dwarka to visit the Lord, and he has not come for a long time. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was worried. And Yudhishthira Maharaj finally receives Arjuna coming back from Dwarka. And then many, many questions he asks, because he sees Arjuna totally lusterless, hopeless, frustrated, in depression. And there was no charm in his eyes, he was totally depressed, looking worried and emaciated, with no energy or no desire or no vigor of life. So looking at him in that condition, which you would never see before, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked him many, many questions by which one can become lusterless. For example, not fulfilling somebody's desire on the way, not giving charity to the deserving ones, or mistreating women or children or old people, and so many things. There are a big list of things which we can discuss some other time. And finally he asks, after all these questions, have you done this, have you done that, have you done that, or have you lost your dear friend Sri Krishna? And then Arjuna comes up with this statement the first time. That Supreme Personality of Godhead was very friendly with me, was very close to me, would eat with me, would sleep with me, would hunt with me, would chat with me, who will joke with me, who will make fun of me, I'll make fun of him. And we'll do all things together as a friend, and sometimes tease one another also. And he would take it in a very friendly way. That Supreme Lord was my friend, has left me alone, and I am drowning in the ocean of sorrow. So this is the background of this particular verse. And very important to note, Arjuna goes on narrating his most wonderful realization that he has derived from this event. What happens that he narrates to the story to Yudhishthira Maharaj, that this is some background, I'll give you historic Puranic background from Brahma Puran and one more Puran, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has researched and given in the purports, that there was a Muni called Ashtavakra Muni, and the denizens, daughters of demigods, they pleased him, and he gave them benediction that the Supreme Lord will become your husband. So all of them were very happy to receive the benediction, but Ashtavakra Muni had 8 different bends in his body. So he would walk in a very unique and a so-called very funny way. No. So when he gave the benediction and he was started walking away, all these ladies or girls couldn't control their laughter. So Ashtavakra Muni was offended and he cursed them that although you will become wives of Supreme Lord, some rogues will snatch you from the Lord and drag you away from him. So they were very frightened with this threatening curse. So they offered prayers and they became humble and they became repentful. So then the Muni became very happy again. He said, okay, even if you will be snatched by the rogues, actually the Lord will himself take the form of the rogue and snatch you. So we have to be very, very careful with the sadhus, you know. We cannot just be very light and casual with them. Rupa Goswami mentions to all of us that even if a sadhu was a devotee of the Lord, has physical deformities or has a disease, or has different caste, which is lower caste, or appears to be less than ordinary person through our mortal eyes, still he should never be offended. He should be respected as a great devotee of the Lord. And all due respects that are due for the Supreme Lord should be offered to him. This is what Rupa Goswami's version is. So one should never disrespect a sadhu from his caste or from his previous activities in life or from his previous birth, or from his lineage of birth, in which family has taken birth. You should not consider these things once a person becomes sadhu. So then, as per this particular background of activities happening in the heavens, many ladies of demigods' wives and daughters, they became Krishna's wives. Some of the gopis became Krishna's wives. It is explained by in the scriptures by our acharyas that when Krishna went from Vrindavan to Mathura and then to Dwarka, Chandravali became Rukmini and Radharani became Satyabhama, and so forth the other gopis became. They couldn't resist Krishna's physical separation, and also at the same time they remained in Vrindavan in those forms to experience the most intimate bhava association of the Lord, Vipralamba association of the Lord. So when Krishna arranged the pastime of all the, you know, Yadu dynasty people, Yadavas, Narayani Sena, all those were family members of Krishna, very, very powerful. They were invincible. None of them could have been killed by anything, by anybody, by any weapon, any time, in any place in the world. And that kind of one Akshohini division of soldiers of Narayani Sena, they were offered to Duryodhan in the war. And they were not defeated. I mean, they were not killed. Although they were, their party was defeated, but they were as they were. So there was also requirement to take them back home from where they were brought down. So Lord Krishna had arranged a pastime before only, that when one time all these Yadavas were sons and grandsons of Krishna, were playing and very playful, and you know, sometimes big man's children are very proud, very naughty and very arrogant. So Samba, what they did, they made Samba. Samba is the daughter of, or son of Jambuvati. So one of the wives of Krishna is Jambuvati, the daughter of Jambuvan, the, what is he called? Bear, the bear associate of Lord Ram. Nice story in Krishna book you can read. So he was made into a woman, and you know, like a lot of pillows were put on his abdomen and made into a pregnant woman with a covered veil on the face, and was taken to a sadhu. And those days they would examine anybody by pulse. So fully covered lady, Samba, he took out his hand and just gave the wrist in the hands of sadhu and said, please tell what will be born of this pregnant woman. So sadhu is Trikaldarshi. Sadhu knows. They are making fun. And if Lord Krishna's sons can make fun, I mean, are making fun of sadhus, what kind of example they are going to set in society? So they have to be punished. They have to be corrected. So he said, yes, this pregnant lady, who is very beautifully covered by all of you, will give birth to musal, a piece of, what is that called? Yes. Iron and steel piece will be born of this abdomen of this beautiful lady, and that will become cause of destruction of all of you. And that time they were like stunned. They were so scared and fearful. Sure enough, within moments, from the abdomen of Samba came out that iron rod called musal. The musal is generally we used to smash the powder of spices into powder. That's musal, which our dear Lord Baladev also holds. Hal and musal and gada. One of them is musal. So that was delivered from the abdomen, and they came running to the king. I think that time Ugrasen, is that right? If I'm not wrong. So Ugrasen understood. The king, very, very scared. So he said, just powder this particular iron piece, powder into finest part of powder, and throw it in the river. So that, you know, the musal will not exist and you will not get the curse enacted upon you. But sure enough, the powder which was thrown in the river went and settled in Prabhas Kshetra, somewhere in Gujarat side, you know, there is Prabhas Kshetra, and settled in the banks of the river like a sand or a piece or whatever. And from there grew some kind of grass, which is very unique grass, you know, and it remained there. Everybody felt that the story was over, everything was fine. But when the Mahabharata war got over, you know, everybody is just thinking who was the great warrior, who fought the best and who did the great things. And this happened in Pandavas also, another beautiful story in Puranas. But this happened with this Narayani Sena also. They were like, now the war is over, so they thought, let's go and enjoy. So though they went to Prabhas Kshetra only. See, the destiny took them to Prabhas Kshetra. At the bank of the river, where this whole iron powder had settled down, where the grass was grown up already, they went there as a beautiful ground for enjoying their pastime. So they drank liquor made of fermented rice, and they became intoxicated. And what happens when you get intoxicated? You lose all the control of every sense that you have. You know, sensible nature is lost. So they started arguing among each other. Who fought better than anybody else? So everybody thought that they were the best warriors, and they started describing about their own prowess and own chivalry. I did this, I did this. No, I did this, I did this. And they were denying each other, and in the slowly arguments became into fights, and the fight became very serious, and they plucked this grass. I mean, they were using such weapons in the war. They were doing shastras, mainly shastras in Mahabharata war, not astras. They had weapons like gada and talwar and dhanusha and baan and so many things. But this was like a grass, you know, it's like blade of grass. So very funnily one can touch one another, but try to beat one another, but nothing will happen actually. But as soon as they plucked this grass and hit anybody, that person fell dead. And similarly, they hit each other and everybody fell dead. And whole the Yadu dynasty, one Akshavahini division of soldiers fell dead over there. And they were all struck with wonder, what is happening? So many lessons to learn. No, what is the meaning of offending a sadhu? What can happen? You can get destroyed completely. It's very, some may say, one should not be a coward, but Prabhupada said one should be healthily fearful of Maya. Similarly, healthily fearful of offending a Vaishnava, or making fun of him, or ridiculing him, or taking him for granted, They are all different kinds of Vaishnava Prat. So then Krishna told, because already Balramji also had left along with them. Of course, he didn't participate into this kind of activities, but he also left, and all the Akshayuni Senas also left the world, went back to Godhead by Krishna's arrangement. And then Daruka was there. Daruka met Krishna in Prabhas Chetra. So Krishna told Daruka, please go to Dwarka, and whoever are remaining over there, women, old people and children and wives of the Yadavas and all, and also my queens, please take them under protection of Arjuna to Hastinapur. So Arjuna was called, Daruka went. Daruka is Krishna's charioteer, a great devotee of the Lord. So he went to Dwarka and gathered everybody, and also Arjuna came, and they left Dwarka. And as soon as they left Dwarka, it was already told to Daruka that what will happen. He said, as soon as I will leave Dwarka, the ocean will inundate whole Dwarka. So please get them out. So they were taken out, and when Krishna left, by another pastime, immediately ocean covered Dwarka. And they had already escaped by that time. So ocean was standing there by the desire of Krishna. Ocean gave land to Krishna to build Dwarka by the desire of Krishna. There was ocean before also. But there was a reclamation of land. Like we have Bandra reclamation. These reclamations are very dangerous in the material world. They cause tsunami. They destroy everything in the course of time. But when Krishna demands something, there is no disaster after that. So we have example of Parshuram reclaiming land from Goa to Kanyakumari. Long belt of Parshuram Kshetra was reclaimed from ocean. Then Lord Ramchandra also claimed the ocean to give place to go to Lanka. Same way Krishna reclaimed land from ocean in beyond actually earth. That is, became Dwarka afterwards. So as long as he wanted, it remained. When Krishna went away, immediately again came back to the same position. So whole Dwarka actually today is under ocean. And what Dwarka we have is a representation of Dwarka that is in the ocean. Some memories are re-established there. So on the way, now we come to the story which is connected with this pastime. On the way, Arjuna was carrying his bow, Gandiva, the celebrated bow, whose sound would crack the coverings of universe, actually. And even the heavenly planets would hear the sound of Arjuna's pratyancha. It will cause threat in the heart of enemies. It caused fear in the heart of enemies. His conch shell also, and his bow when it was pulled. And there were arrows, invincible arrows, he had gathered from Swargaloka. The long story how there was a curse given to him that he will become impotent for 1 year if he would enter the house of any other brother who is spending time with his wife. And it happened so that he had to do some service. Many, many stories. Mahabharata is filled with stories. So nice stories, instructive stories. So I'm tempting to go through every story. But anyways, keep the theme up. And then he went to heavenly planets and he achieved so many beautiful astras from demigods. Willfully, in the same body of earth, he went to the heavenly planets. He was given raised feet in the middle of demigods. He was given respect. He was given honor. And he also helped the demigods. Same arrows were there with him. The same, of course, not the same chariot, same horses. Because again, when the chariot which was used by Krishna with Arjuna for the battlefield, when the battlefield was over, Krishna told Arjuna, now the war is over, please get down the chariot. So Arjuna said, you get down the chariot first, then I'll get down. He said, no, please listen to me. Please get down the chariot. Even before they have got down the chariot, because when they were tired in the middle of the war, Krishna had to get them down and massage their feet and feed them grass and put some oil in the wheels and everything. So they were also down. But that time the service was on, so this pastime couldn't take place. When the war was over, the service was over, At that time, finally Arjuna got down first. And as soon as Krishna got down, the chariot was ablaze, fire. There was fire and chariot burned to ashes. So that time Krishna told Arjuna, I told you, get down first. This is the reason. If you wouldn't have got down, I would have got down. The chariot would have burnt with you. I wanted to save you. So many times in Mahabharata you could see that Krishna saved them. A small story I'll tell you. When Karna actually, you know, embarrassed Yudhishthir Maharaj, he defeated him very easily when Karna became the chariot commander-in-chief. And what Karna did, he put his bow around the neck of Yudhishthir and shook him like this. In the insult, you know, you guys, go away. I leave you because I have even promised your mother that I only kill one of you and I will choose Arjun to be killed. So you go. So he just humiliated him. Yudhishthir Maharaj felt that I should have died rather than be humiliated by Karna, our enemy. So when he came back to the tambu, in the tent, they were describing, and Arjuna was very angry, you know. Actually, he used such bad words for his brother, actually. So many things he used. And then after some time, he took out his sword. He said, Krishna asked, what is the purpose of taking out a sword? He said, I have taken a vow. Whoever chastises or abuses my elder brother Yudhishthir, I'll kill him. So I have to kill myself now. So Krishna said, you people are taking vows right, left and center. You never think what you do before doing things. And now you are, that time also, this is much later on, after also you know that, you know, he took a vow, okay, I will enter the fire if tomorrow I do not kill Jayadrath. Krishna said, why you have to take such vows? Why you have to be so excited? I am with you, consult me, you know. Don't get excited. But Krishna had to then do another trick that time also. So this time then what to do? Now if you kill yourself now, the war is over. Why you have to just come prepare so many days we are preparing. So now, what do I do now? I already offended my brother, so I have to kill myself. It's okay. Maybe I'm telling the story a little in the wrong way. But the purpose is that Krishna said that you can kill yourself and not kill yourself if you also get chastised by your brother. So now you use bad words for your brother. For Kshatriya, insult is bigger than death also. So then Arjuna was chastised by Yudhishthir by harsh words, which was as good as death. And the vow was also fulfilled, and life of Arjuna also was fulfilled, saved. So like that, the same bow, why I'm telling all these things, the same bow, same arrows and same horses which drew the chariot in the war, they were all with Arjuna. And the Arjuna also was the same, was not different. But what happened on the way, some coward men, you know, simple coward men who heard the cows, attacked Arjuna, defeated Arjuna. Arjuna had used all his bow and arrows, but they just couldn't, nothing happened to them. They defeated Arjuna and they took Krishna's wives and ran away. So Arjuna was like wonderstruck. How can this happen? How can ever this happen? With my bow, I defeated the whole Kaurava army alone. When the cows of Virata had been stolen by Karna and company. And that time, he was Bruhannala, he was a eunuch. In the form of a woman, half man, he had defeated the whole army of Kauravas, including Bhishma and Drona, and everybody were hypnotized completely by Sammohan Astra with the arrow that he used on his celebrated bow, Gandiva. And then now same bow and arrow is useless. So that time he came to a very wonderful realization which all of us should ponder upon. He understood that now that Sri Krishna, my dear friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always accompanying me, has gone away from me. Because of that, my Gandiva have become powerless, my arrows have become powerless, myself have become powerless. He could have even defeated them by his own hands also, if he wanted. If he didn't want to use his Gandiva bow and arrow, he could have used his hand also to defeat them. He was also a great wrestler. But they defeated him very simply. So he understood it's only because of Krishna is not there. So what Prabhupada says here? Whenever Krishna wants, he can give power to you for fulfill his mission. And whenever he wants, he can withdraw also. That is the most important understanding. And then Prabhupada says that one should not become proud of borrowed plumes. So all of us should know by this story that Arjuna is telling. Then he narrates, I will tell also some point wise. He tells Yudhishthira's brother, they don't know how he has realized this truth. That is all because of Krishna what happened in the past. So he was memorizing everything that happened in the past by this event. That see, now actually I understand that all those events that happened in the past were simply because of his grace and his power. What were the events in Draupadi Swayamvar? It was because of him, because of his presence over there. He signaled Draupadi not to accept Karna. So see, before Karna could have won the bet, he said, I will not put garland on a Suta Putra. So Karna couldn't even show his prowess. He had to sit down because Krishna wanted Arjuna to marry her and win the bet. So it was because of his presence, Arjuna is saying that I could pierce the eye of his fish moving upstairs and I could win the hand of Draupadi. And then he says, I defeated Indra also, the king of demigods, because Krishna was by my side. I defeated Indra, and then that's how we got the permission to burn Khandavan. The Khandavan was given by Duryodhan to Pandavas. The useless forest as property, division of property. And then Krishna burnt it first by defeating Indra by Arjuna. And then Maidanav had to come out because all the snakes were burnt and they were running and trying, and then Takshaka was saved. And then even Agnidev was eating everybody, and Maidanav came out of the forest. And he said, please, I take shelter, please forgive me. Give me shelter, save my life. So Maidanav was given protection, and then Maidanav built the Indraprastha in Khandavan. And Khandav became Indraprastha, the most celebrated assembly, which caused so much envy in the heart of Duryodhan. So many things happened, offenses happened, and insults took place. So only because of Krishna this happened. Otherwise, I couldn't have done anything. Then he says, our brother Bhimsen killed Jarasandha, such a powerful, mighty king, by the guidance of Krishna. It was impossible for anybody to kill Jarasandha. Then, those who loosened the hair of Draupadi, their wives were made to lose, make their hair loose. That means they became widows. Once when one becomes widow, the lady keeps her hair loose. So they touched the beautiful clusters of hair of our wife Draupadi, insulted her chastity. So Krishna made all their wives keep their hair loose because of being widows. That is because of Krishna only. When Durvasa came in the forest, what could we have done? Our wife already had finished her meals. Lakshaipatra couldn't have given anything. At that time, Krishna was eating his beautiful chappan bhoga cooked by Rukmini in Dwarka. And she was fanning him while feeding him, talking sweet words. Who could give up that company in a very beautiful, happy manner? And instantly, Draupadi called. He just left from there. Rukmini thought, what happened? What offense I did? But Krishna had no time to answer the question. She just appeared in the forest and saved them. Long story Prabhupada explains in the purport. Durvasamani ran away. He could have cursed Pandavas to even worse things than the Vanvas also. But Krishna saved them instantly. You can see how our Lord is Bhakta Vatsal. So Arjuna is remembering everything. Now, retrospectively, he is remembering everything. And then Lord Shiva was astonished in the battle with Arjuna. Krishna was sitting and observing, and there was a war. There was one animal which was pierced by arrow by the hunter and by Arjuna also. And they were fighting whose arrow pierced first. So both of them, arrows were there in the body of animal. So the hunter said, no, I have killed the animal, so the animal is mine. And he said, I have killed the animal first. So then there was no truce because nobody could see whose arrow went first. So what is the next conclusion is war. So they were fighting. And the hunter was fighting so valiantly. Arjuna was astonished. Who's this warrior? And just fought very, very valiantly. And then nobody could be defeated. But the hunter was astonished with the power of Arjuna. And he revealed himself as Lord Shiva. And that's how Arjuna got Pashupatastra. Is that right? Trishulastra. So Shiva was astonished. So Arjuna says, because of Krishna's presence, I could even astonish Lord Shiva. Then Arjuna says, I was saved from, when I went to Swargaloka, Indra took service from me. Because one demon was there called Nivata Kavacha, was harassing Indra in the heavenly planets. So the visitor from earth, who had gone to take some things from them, had to be called, had to be summoned. And there was a war between Arjuna and Nivata Kavacha, and Arjuna killed Nivata Kavacha. He said, that also I could do because of Krishna's mercy. Then Arjuna, that I already told, how Arjuna alone saved the cows of Virata as a gratitude from the atrocities of Karna and Duryodhan Dushasan. Then when they were being burnt in Varnavat, in the house of Lak, how they were saved, Arjuna is attributing that also to Krishna. We could have been burnt. We were in the house of Lak, inflammable material, and we were supposed to be sleeping in that night, but we were warned and we were saved and we could come alive, and then they were thinking all Pandavas are killed just because of the mercy of the Lord Sri Krishna. And then we were guided to the assembly of Drupad, King Drupad, and we were married. And finally he said, in the ocean of warriors in Mahabharata war at Kurukshetra, who are we? We were simply insignificant warriors compared to Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya, Jayadrath, and so many, Madra and Shalya, so many big names were there, what Maharathis. And we had no scope, we were only few, and they were, even by material calculation, they had 11 divisions of Akshavahini warriors, and we had 7. And headed by whom? Headed by Bhishma Dev. So we had no scope. But how Krishna managed the whole war is the whole story of Mahabharata. How Krishna eliminated Bhishma Dev, then Drona, and then Karna, and then Duryodhana, and then Shakuni. One by one, he just eliminated them so intelligently. Although they were very, very powerful, more powerful than anybody else. But he tricked everybody, and they were all killed. So only because of him, we could win the most inconceivable war that we could have never won. But we won the war. And today we are kings. This position has been given to us. We have become Chakravarti Samrat only by his grace, because he wanted us to become kings. We had no power to become kings, neither we were qualified to become kings. It is his desire that he empowered us to become kings. So very important point to note, that when one comes to a realization of dependence on Krishna by one event, then naturally he relates all the events of life to his mercy only. They don't think that, only this event, because he was not there, I lost. All the events are my credit only. He's not thinking. A simple and humble devotee, who is sincere devotee, will get one realization. That realization he will attach to all the events of life and get more and more deeper of realization of the same nature. We have to be like that also. We may have undergone our childhood, and then we in youth we must have become devotees, came to Krishna consciousness, and now we understand, this happened, my family dissed me at a very delicate juncture of my life and made me depressed, so I came to Krishna. So it was all Lord's arrangement. And then I think also, in my childhood this happened, that also is Lord Krishna's arrangement. That also was Lord's arrangement. Now I understand, when I was giving bad words to my family members who really ditched me at the delicate juncture, it was Lord's arrangement. So I thank them now to have behaved bad with me. Because now we realize that. And we should always be like that. To attribute all the events in sequence, that is called realization. Today morning also, Bhavananda Prabhu was explaining how everything was so planned. We don't know how things are happening, but Krishna had the plan. So we give credit to Krishna and Guru Maharaj for all these things. So similarly, after explaining everything, he told Yudhishthira Maharaj that is only because of him. So this is the devotee's understanding, that whatever he can do or he has done or he will be doing in future, he attributes everything to Krishna. Prabhupada says, why should we be proud of borrowed blooms? Even a karmi who is not a devotee, who is a materialistic person, we see many, many big guys in the world who are millionaires and trillionaires and billionaires, who have properties, who have influence, who have power, who have so many things they have, and they become so puffed up with all their powers. But what we see, some examples I wrote down here. So many things. Alexander the Great, who conquered the whole world, he came to India and he got malaria. He conquered countries after countries, you know, defeating thousands of people. And a small, you know, we can't even say featherweight. Feather also is heavier than a mosquito. And this mosquito bit him and he was down. He couldn't even move his limbs. And he had to leave his body. And he had to tell everybody, you see, he's that same person who said, keep my hands out of my coffin. Sometimes I forget the history of my childhood, which I read in the books. So same person, when left his body, he was so helpless, absolutely powerless. His chivalry and his victory, nothing could happen in front of the mosquitoes of India. And many of the Westerners who come to India, you know, like 6 footers and 6 foot 7 inches and all, they get knocked down by Indian mosquitoes, you know. And the mosquitoes are also vehicles, they're not the original invaders. The real person is inside the mosquito. Plasmodium vivax. Plasmodium filaria. When that malaria and filaria knocks down the people like anything. So, what Alexander said, they should know that I have not brought anything with me. Whatever I won and I sweat, put my sweat and blood in winning, I have to leave it here only and go. So let the world know I came with nothing and I'm going with nothing. I only thought I have conquered so many things and procured so many things, but everything is by the Lord. Same thing with Napoleon also. Same thing with Hitler also. Hitler killed 6 lakh Jews by gas chambers and harassment and deprogramming and name it, ragging, everything he did. And finally he had to run in jungle to shoot himself in frustration and did suicide. But what happened to all his mighty power that gave him satisfaction that I killed all the Jews and I did what I wanted and this is what my power is and I am the one who controls and I was the main figure in the Second World War and so many things. Why he had to go in the wilderness and shoot himself? Hidingly, why he has to die? Again, the proof that who has the power ultimately? Power is given to you by the Lord and you have misused the power, so you have to get finished. You have to get destroyed. A late example I always remember, I always give many places the example of Muhammad Ali. This Muhammad Ali used to punch. When he would punch repeatedly, you wouldn't even see anything. You know, like when you see a fast moving motorcycle and when you take a picture of fast moving motorcycle, sometimes the aperture speed cannot pick up the speed, so you only see something like this on the picture, something only moving but nothing is clear in that, right? So like that people would see when he would actually move his hands. He would not see from where the hand is beginning, where is going, where is coming back, where is going. That kind of speed he had. And he had that proud statement he would always make that I am so fast. When I put a button of tube light on, before the light becomes on, I'm on the bed. if you go to history, you'll know that he was so proud that I'm standing and putting the button on. Before the light becomes on, I'm already on the bed. So fast I am. And today that person has total disintegration of his nervous system. He can't even lift a glass of water to feed himself or drink himself. Where's the power gone? Where is the power actually? The power was given by the Lord. As long as we are connected to electricity, we may be 200, 2000, 5000 watts. Only if there is connection with the electricity, not with the button. The button has to be also connected with the electric source of electricity. Then only the 200, 300, 1000, 10,000 watts bulbs can light itself. Otherwise, Prabhupada says all the bulbs are useless if there is no electricity. So as long as the soul is there inside, when Paramatma is there inside, this body will appear alive, walking, moving, talking and doing great things and sense gratification and activity of powers and conquering and everything. As soon as the soul is gone, this beautiful body which is we are so proud of and so powerful, so strong, just drops like a piece of cotton to be burnt or to be buried or to be given to the vultures to eat. So where the power is coming from? Power is from Krishna. Who is the soul? Part and parcel of Krishna. Who is Paramatma? Who is Swamsha? Expansion of Krishna. Only when these two personalities are inside, the body appears beautiful, attractive, to be enjoyed for, whatever. So we have to be connected. How we will receive the grace like the way Arjuna had received? What was Arjuna's qualification that made him get empowered by Krishna to receive his mercy totally, completely, and protection from Krishna in a way he could never understand also? How Krishna saved him from that, you know, vow of killing oneself who offends his elder brother. Similarly, when he took a vow of Jayadrath also, Krishna had to do so many things. So many times Arjuna was protected by Krishna beyond his power of intelligence, capacity of understanding, how I could be saved now. He was also wondering, Krishna said, now what to do? I will try my best to run the chariot as fast as possible to reach Jayadratha. And their only strategy was to keep Jayadratha as far as possible from Krishna and Arjuna. So where they placed him? They placed him in ocean. So many miles away from the beginning of war where Arjuna was. And there were invincible warriors in between who would take one full day from you if you want to. Just keep you in busy in fighting. And time was very important for him. So Arjuna was saying, what is happening, Krishna? How do I reach? Will I ever reach him? He said, what to do? You took a vow. What I can say? I'm trying my best. Don't you see? I'm trying my best. I'm trying to dodge everybody and, you know, better don't fight with everybody. They are challenging you. Savdhan, neglect them. Don't worry about the Kshatriya rules. Just get away with everybody. But somehow they were chasing him and, you know, challenging him and somehow reaching. And suddenly Arjuna is wondering, how will I ever reach? So Arjuna never knew what Krishna is going to do. And then Krishna released his chakra and covered the sun and appeared as if it's sunset. And made Jayadrath come out of the ocean in joy. They were laughing. Look at Arjuna. Look at a fool. You know, we have made a fool out of you. What is the power of your Gandiva now? Where is your power of arrows? And where are your Divya Astras and Shastras? Look at him. Now we are not going to kill you. You are going to kill yourself, you fool. So they all came, you know, from wherever they were strategically positioned. And there came Jayadrath from the last position. Came laughing at Arjuna. And then Krishna withdrew the chakra again back. He said, Krishna. And he told Arjuna, this is the sun and this is Jayadrath. Kill him right now. And he was right in front of him. And that too, middle of the day. It was not end of the day also. Of course, on the other side of the day, on the evening side, but not the suryasta, not the sunset. So Arjuna did not know that Krishna is going to do this for me. He didn't tell him in the morning, don't worry, at the end of the day, I will do this. So you be peaceful. No, Krishna makes you realize how fool we are. Nicely, by making you sweat and, you know, slog like anything. He made Arjuna really try his best. So Arjuna really tried his best, was really frustrated. At that point, when he was totally helpless, and he was of course under shelter of Krishna, when he was totally helpless, Krishna immediately did his trick and saved him. So what Krishna does is, we don't even, like I also want to give example, when a child is sleeping, 2 months old child is sleeping, and mother is sleeping next to child, and a snake or a scorpion comes. In the village, you know, many times they come on the bed and they want to attack the child, and mother gets up immediately and chases the scorpion away and beats the scorpion and kills the scorpion, and scorpion is finished and baby is protected. But baby is sleeping very peacefully. Baby doesn't know that a scorpion was there and my mommy struggled. She spoiled her 2 hours of sleep and all of them were awake and they killed the scorpion. I was saved. So many things must have happened in our childhood that we don't even know how we were protected by our mother and father. So like that, Krishna's protection is. Now also, when we are practicing the process of sadhana bhakti and chanting Hare Krishna, we don't know how are we getting protected. What are we saved from? So many karmas that we were supposed to go through as reactions of our sinful activities, they have been deleted, and we don't even know that they have been deleted. So many things we could have undergone as misery, but we don't even know. Only thing, when Brahma recites his Brahma Samhita, and sometimes on Sunday we recite here, we understand, oh, karma di nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajam. So many things are already burnt by the process of bhakti, and so many things, only token comes to us. When we hear that, oh, we understand, oh, now what I'm having is not the full, it's only a token, and I'm saved from 99.99% of suffering that could have come to me. But they have been already saved by Krishna. And on one fine sunny morning, Sunday morning, we come here, we understand by hearing the verse, oh, look at all those things which we suffered, only token it was there. So that kind of protection Krishna gives to his devotees. So what was his qualification? He was a surrendered soul. Knowing well, he is in full consciousness now of the gratefulness that he had to Krishna. But even then, when now he has realized, because his Gandiva did not act the way it was supposed to act, and he has come to full realization, but even before that, he was fully surrendered to Krishna. So many things we may not know or understand theoretically or practically or whichever way. But if we have one understanding that I should surrender to Krishna and follow his instruction, surrender to my Gurudev and obey his instruction, then we are fully under protection of Krishna. And in that condition, whenever we attempt to serve Krishna and Guru and devotees, we get empowerment. So this machine of human body is supposed to be utilized to serve the Lord, to be a part of his mission, to serve in his mission, to fulfill his mission. And when we use this yantra of human body for that purpose, not only get protected, not only get saved from miseries, but we get fully empowered. If we are 1000 watts, it becomes 2000 watts. For example, we don't even know, how could I have done this? What qualification, training or experience I had to do this? Many times we think like that. But many miraculous things happen. Many miraculous things are spoken, which we have not planned to speak. And it sometimes changes the hearts of people. People get attracted to Krishna consciousness. And we feel it was me who preached them. I spoke to them. And that affected their heart deeply. And it was transformation because of my powerful words. But if we read this chapter, you'll understand. All those words, all that wisdom, all those sentence formations, all the situations, all the location of the events that take place and where we speak, the whole scenario is all done by Krishna. And also he speaks through you. Because he wants someone to come to his lotus feet. And he is using us because we are willing to be used by him. So there is a sincerity that we may have, a devotee may have, that I want to get used by Krishna for his mission. If that desire is there, then we will get used by Krishna. And many, many most wonderful things will happen to us. That powerhouse of Krishna can manifest through us. That grace will work through us. But nothing to be proud of ourselves in that. Because we are simply being used by Krishna. The sword is not powerful. The user is powerful. The way the person is using the sword, the enemies are getting killed and victory is being achieved. The sword in itself has nothing to do with anything. It is the user who is using the sword. So who is glorious? The user, not the sword. So we are supposed to be like the sword, ready to be used by Krishna. Please use me whenever you want. That should be our consciousness. And another thing is how to get complete empowerment by Krishna and not partly empowerment by Krishna. Krishna sends us so many events in life, you know, and many of the events are actually not very pleasant for our purification. But they are very beautifully designed by Krishna. Very customized design is there. For a particular devotee, a particular misery comes and becomes too much for that devotee. And others also feel bad about it. And I feel, if I only didn't have this and I could have had that, I would have really been a very good devotee. But why this only is happening to me? So what we get is very difficult for us because we feel this is the only misery in life that nobody else has the understanding of the misery that I am getting. Plug in knowledge is given to us that all these so-called miseries or so-called plannings by the Lord are done simply to purify us in a particular way, in a particular fashion, so that we can get 100% purification. And suppose if you struggle with the given mercy of the Lord or given situation that Lord sends us, you struggle with that, and to that degree we are accepting the misery or situation, to that degree we get empowered, to the degree we struggle with the situation, we lose the empowerment of the Lord. So what is the lesson from this? Is that if we just bow down and say, yes, my Lord, and also say thank you for that, and also be really grateful for that, what has been sent to us, then there is 100% empowerment. Then in that thank you condition of the heart, Krishna can do miracles through our lives. And as insignificant we are, that also we'll realize ki how insignificant I am and I'm unable to do anything and how Lord is actually doing so many things through my existence to fulfill his mission. That means what? That means we should not become proud of those things happening through us. You have to be very vigilant to understand, attribute everything to Guru and Krishna when things happen through us, knowing well that I am actually most insignificant, fallen, conditioned soul in the material world. It is only Krishna who is putting his connection to me and appearing myself to be lighted with his power. I appear lit by his power simply because of connection of his mercy. So we have to all actually understand that what happened to Arjun, the great things Arjuna did for Krishna, even any devotee can do, provided we become like Arjuna. So many people went abroad to wanted to preach Gaudiya mission, Hare Krishna mission to the world, but they failed. But then Prabhupada went, and he was told that you should compromise with the four negative principles. You know, let them eat meat, but let them chant Hare Krishna, and let them do this, let them do that. So many advices were given by people who went to America and came back from America unsuccessfully, and they were giving their realization to Prabhupada that this is how America is and you should do like this and then only you'll be successful. But Prabhupada did not take any of their compromising advices, and Prabhupada followed every single principle that was told to him by his Gurudev and did not compromise. And floods of devotees became devotees. Right? Floods of people became devotees by that. So Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tar Pravartan. No transformation can take place in the heart of people unless one is empowered by Sri Krishna. So if some people have taken Krishna consciousness by our words and our association, how can we say it is our achievement? We have to understand that this was Krishna's desire. If actually people become devotees by our preaching, then by now at least 1,000 people should have become devotees through our talking. At least I can give my example. Because when I was in JJ Hospital, I had talked to every ward boy, every nurse, every doctor, every nurse, everybody, whoever I met, I had talked to them. And why everybody didn't become devotees? The simple proof of that. And I spoke with the same zeal and some intensity and some desperateness. I would follow them up and knock their doors and repeatedly call them for meetings and give prasadam to them and follow them up and be kind to them. And always I did that. But only 10-15 people became devotees. Thousands didn't become devotees. Hundreds didn't become devotees. That is the very proof that I did my duty. Whomever Krishna had to bring, he brought them. It's very simple. So, but still we get the credit. In the eyes of Krishna and the devotees and Guru, still we get the credit because we allowed our intelligence and our body and our mind and our existence and our time to be utilized by Krishna. So still Krishna gives us the credit. Although we are insignificant and have no credit actually in truth, but still we get the credit, and those credits are utilized by Lord Krishna, are given benefit to us to go back to Godhead in the future. It is said that if some people have become devotees through you and they become very advanced and they become very progressed in Krishna consciousness and they do lots of great services, he said every time they do something, you get your commission. So every time you see them chanting very nicely, say, thank you very much. I'm getting my commission. So see how wonderful Krishna consciousness is. Isn't that true? Some time ago, 15 years back, we talked to somebody and he took up Krishna consciousness, and now he has become very advanced devotee, and from now till today and in future, whatever he does, everything is Dalali is ours. Thakur Bhaktivinoda wrote a nice song, Dalali Ar Geet. Very beautiful song. Okay, you do your activity, I take my commission. Dasturi Shastra. So, we have to allow Krishna to do whatever he wants in our lives. We should not struggle with the events that are coming in our life. It becomes difficult sometimes, easy to speak, but difficult sometimes to actually bear with the situations and the tests that is been sent to us. And sometimes we get shaken up, sometimes we think we can manage, but we are unable to manage. And we really get shaken up. Our zeal or determination gets shaken up. Our enthusiasm gets shaken up. We become depressed. And we start doubting about the situation. How are we going to do? How will I go through? Our faith gets shaken up sometimes. But there is one formula and one way out of this. That we have to simply run to the shelter of devotees. open our heart to them, not maybe all of them, but few of them whom we trust and whom we really look up to. Take the association and learn to say thank you to the Lord in the given situation. And if you are able to say that, effortfully also, no problem. And truly feel grateful, knowing that this is a customized arrangement of the Lord for our purification. Then the Lord does unimaginable things through us. Most unimaginable. And we also come to know that we have gone through this now, not by our prowess, our strength. It is only because of devotee company and the mercy of Krishna, which came through devotees to us. It is through the encouragement of the devotees and through the mercy that Lord sent through devotees. It happened. We come to know very easily, very clearly. So we have to keep on making effort. And as time goes by, the test that we have received today, we will be receiving a test of higher intensity in future. That is also guaranteed. As we pass more years in Krishna consciousness, we have gone through some tests and maybe successfully chanting Hare Krishna, we have come out of it and we are still chanting Hare Krishna. Then more tests are going to come. So it is not actually, it's in one sense fearful, but it's not fearful because when we go to SSC and we pass SSC, we go to 11th standard, we don't expect easy questions than SSC. Difficult questions will come. Then 12th more difficult will come. Then professional colleges more difficult will come. And at PhD level, the highest questions will come. The biggest books we have to read and lot of time we have to spend and the highest examination we have to pass. So people give IAS exam and IPS exam, then much more higher efforts are there. So even material life, we do not expect our tests to become simpler and simpler as time goes by, right? So how can we expect in spiritual life that our tests will become simpler than as time passes? They will become intense. So we definitely know that at this moment of time, if I am undergoing one difficulty, my Guru Maharaj, who is millions of times more advanced than me, is definitely undergoing millions of times more harsher tests than myself. Even after becoming a pure devotee, with free from all material desires, our spiritual master has no need to undergo any suffering actually, right? He's already purified himself completely. But he undergoes so much difficulties for many reasons. To inspire everybody, Lord wants to get us to get inspired by his example, by his handling all those miseries, why he made Arjuna and Pandava go through misery, so that we have all time to come, thousands of years and millions of years in yugas to come, an example how to accept Lord's mercy gratefully. The same time, even if you become pure devotee in the material world, in the material world, one can never be happy. Externally. Internally, we can be in bliss spiritually while going through miseries. But externally, miseries will keep coming. Disease will keep coming. Old age will keep coming. Defaming will keep coming. Rivalry, enmity, envy will always keep existing. Yudhishthira Maharaj was a pure devotee. He had no enemies. Even Duryodhana, he always called Suryodhana. Everybody called him Duryodhana and he always called him Suryodhana. He could not see anything bad in him also. Such a noble soul also had difficulties, also had to fight, also had so many defamations and so many bad things happened. Their wife was insulted and so many things happened to them. Why should it happen to them if they are pure devotees? Non-devotee can ask Krishna, what is this? Your devotees are going through so many bad things. But Krishna arranges all those things to happen in the life of devotee to show us even such worst miseries, how a devotee acts. Look at these devotees of mine, how they have acted upon. And that is why I empower them for all the great things to do. And that's why then in the end he put them as Chakravarti Samrats. And they very well knew that all this is because of Krishna. And what is the proof that they knew? That as soon as Krishna left, they left the kingdom where it was. All the Chakravarti Samrat position, all the power, and it's not very easy, you know. If we have one flat and you know we lose the flat for some reason here and there, we feel so bad about it. In Bombay, sometimes 50 years are required to acquire a flat. 50 years of hard work, you know. When we were young, just married, fresh, youthful, we bought that flat on loan, and now we are in the retirement and the flat is becoming mine in my position. I mean, that kind of property, when we are about to lose by some things here and there, we feel so bad. And Pandavas had the kingdom of the universe. They were kings and everybody on earth, they were favorable, friendly kings who were subjugated by them and they were paying taxes to them very willfully, respectfully and happily. What honor, what respect. what worship, adoration they were receiving, and all that they just left like this and went to Himalayas because Krishna was not there. So all of this were meaningful to them as long as Krishna was there. And as soon as Krishna left, everything was so great, became meaningless for them, and they just left. They found as if life has no meaning, no existence. There is no life only without Krishna. So they wanted to just leave everything and go away. Although their hair, the hair apparent was not qualified or grown up enough, but still they left everything. They put it under the care of sadhus and put him on the chair, singhasan, and they went. That is the proof that they were always surrendered to Krishna. That is the only proof. And that is why Krishna was very happy in empowering them. Very happy in empowering Arjuna's arrows to pierce the body of Bhishmadev. It was Krishna's power which was there in the arrows of Arjuna. And when it pierced the body of Bhishmadev, Bhishmadev knew very well. Congratulations, congratulations, he said. I know whose arrows they are. They are Arjuna's arrows coming behind Shikhandi. Only his arrows can pierce my steel-like body, Vajra body. So, this empowerment was given by what? For what purpose? Because Arjuna was willing to submit himself to any adversities to be part of Krishna's mission. Yada yada hi dharmasya. That is why he was empowered. If he initially rejected the proposal of Krishna that I will not fight, and he would have continued the same proposal, even though you have told me Bhagavad Gita, I don't care, I am not going to fight, then he was not going to get empowered. He got empowered only because he said, yes, my Lord. Nashta moho smitir ladva karishye vachanam tava. I will do as per your order. And although all the orders given by Krishna to him in the future were not all palatable, right? His mind said, no, I cannot kill Karna. He is out of the chariot, he is on the ground and he is without weapons. So my conscience as Kshatriya tells me, no, I will not kill him. And Krishna said, this is the reason why I want you to kill him. Kill him right now, otherwise you can't kill him. And he surrendered to that against his will. Everybody, Bhishmadev also same thing. When it was told to him, not very palatable. He said, how can I even think of shooting one arrow? What to speak of thousands of arrows piercing his body? One arrow also I cannot think because he was my worshipable grandfather. We have played as babies in his lap. He has fed us lovingly, embraced us, bathed us with his tears of love. How can we ever think of piercing with his body, his precious loving body, with our arrows? To kill him, to eliminate him is impossible to think also. But when it was told to them, this is necessary to fulfill the mission, what I have come for, this is my mission. Of course, they didn't speak so directly, but they were all knowing very well that this is mission of dharma that we have to establish, and we are supposed to be the representative of dharma, and we have to do all these unpleasant things also. And Arjuna reluctantly or surrendered to the will of Krishna. And that is why he was empowered. So we all have the choice in the material world. Whatever happens to us in this life, if we know well with the company of sincere devotees, by their mercy, if we know well that this is the plan of Sri Krishna and this is my role in that plan, this is my service and these are the tests for purification for me, if I have to accept it, I have to accept it with surrendered mind. Thank you, my Lord, I am grateful to you and I will keep on serving you in the adverse conditions the way you want me to serve you. Then the full empowerment will take place. That is why Prabhupada was shining like brilliant sun in the world today also after departure of more than 30 years. Because he accepted all those adversities, all those frustrations and all those harassments, all difficulties gratefully and never wavered even one inch from the mission of his Gurudev. He always said that my only strength is the order of my Guru. So let us speak about how to be connected, how to remain connected with the mercy of the Lord. To be always connected with the mercy of the Lord and the power of the Lord, Rupa Goswami has explained 64 principles, and of which 5 principles are most important. The first principle, amongst all principle of all Rupa Goswami principles, is following the order of Gurudev. In the following the order of Gurudev, then chanting Hare Krishna comes, associating devotees with devotees comes, studying Srimad Bhagavatam comes, serving the deities come, visiting the holy places come, serving devotees and fulfilling the order of Gurudev. So, chanting the holy name with attention, without offense, satsang of sincere devotees and whenever possible of a pure devotee, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam ultimately is what? The extension of mercy and the power of Krishna. I will let you know the story in a few minutes. Then worshipping the deities, Krishna has come in the form of deities in the material world to accept our service, to worship the deities. Staying in dham, worshipping Tulsi, these are the most prominent means of remaining connected with the mercy of the Lord. But of all these things, if there is any specific instruction given by Guru Maharaj, like Prabhupada was told, go to the Western world and preach the philosophy of Krishna consciousness to the Western world. A specific instruction. That becomes the highest antidote for us not to get influenced by material energy and to get fully empowered to serve Krishna. Though together, when we follow the order of Guru Maharaj, even if we are in the middle of most mlecha, yavana, fallen, materialistic country controlled by Maya 100%, we can still remain safe if we are 100% obeying the order of Gurudev. That's like antidote, it's like a vaccine. When you are doing that, you are fully vaccinated against any inflictions of the material world or arrangements done by Maya. And in spite of adverse conditions, one can still appear to be doing great and greater things in the world. That is the power of the order of Gurudev. Now, he may appear like us only, in the same color of the body, same language he speaks, maybe same village he is born, same country he is born, and same kind of education that I had. I am also a pharmacist, he also a pharmacist. Maybe we think like this, you know. But when when a person becomes a pure devotee and a spiritual master, Krishna speaks through him the order that he wants us to follow. So he also knows that it is not me, it is Paramatma telling me what he should tell to a disciple. So what order of Gurudev is actually in one sense order of Krishna only. The Chaitya Guru speaks through Guru, Guru's material tongue or external tongue, to give us the instruction what he wants us to follow. And that is the biggest antidote. If we really need to get empowered and connected to the mercy of the Lord, to the powerhouse of Sri Krishna, then we must sincerely follow the order of Gurudev. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat na gati kutopi. Both things are said simultaneously. By the following the instruction of Gurudev, one gets Krishna, and if you don't follow the order of Gurudev, you do not get Krishna. No other gati is available. There is no other destination for that person. One cannot expect any higher destination or any great things in life to happen if you do not follow the order of Gurudev. That means to get order of Gurudev is first mercy of Krishna. To get Guru to you is first mercy of Krishna. Then the order comes. And then we follow the order and then we realize how powerful the order is, how it is protecting us from all the negative influence of material world and how we are making simultaneous progress to Krishna consciousness to achieve Krishna's mercy also. That is the power of order of Gurudev. So that is the central point of remaining connected. Then, further than that is being humble and surrendered instruments in the hands of Guru and Krishna. We discussed that. And not taking credit in the success of our life. But many times, when we follow the order of Gurudev, a lot of success comes in preaching. Like you see Radhana Swami. Everywhere, wherever he goes, he is admired for his success in his spiritual life. But if you ask him, what is the secret of your success, what people are telling you as success, first of all, you'll not accept what is his success. And second of all, he'll say, it's only the mercy of my Gurudev. Same thing Prabhupada said, whatever I did, whatever happened, is simply by the mercy of my Gurudev, his divine grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. It was his desire. That is why it happened. He wanted to preach in the West, so preaching took place in the West. I am simply an insignificant instrument. As soon as we take credit of the success that comes to us, we become robbers, we become thieves. Why thieves? Because that is not ours in first place. The success is not ours. Success is because of the power of Krishna, desire of Krishna. It is his will that has been executed, that has been realized. So a sincere devotee will immediately realize it is not nothing of my credit actually. But when we are impure, mixed with desires for sense gratification and mixed with desires for Krishna consciousness, in that mixed condition, the credit-taking tendency comes. No, I want to tell people that I am the doer actually. I am the doer, I am the proprietor, I am the controller. Even in devotional life, because we all are coming from the common society, which which are filled with this diseases of envy, anger, lust, you know, desire proprietorship, desiring controllership and creatorship. We all are from those people in the world, and we are trying to come to this hospital of a temple, you know, to try to purify ourselves, to cleanse ourselves. So we also have these problems. When we are progressing in the, we are in the middle of bhakti called Mishra, Jnana Mishra, Karma Mishra Bhakti, then this kind of tendency comes in us to take the credit of things that are happening. But the formula is, whatever happens, attribute everything to Sri Krishna and to Sri Gurudev. Anything that happens in life, good or bad, surrender oneself, ourselves to the lotus feet of Krishna. Whatever you say, my Lord, is fine. In Christianity, said, thy will be done. So we accept everything happening in our life, good or bad, as His will. So when success is by His will, our tendency is to identify with the success and share the misery with everybody else. When a misery comes, I want to blame everybody who is around me, because of wife, because of husband, because of brother, sister, because of neighbor, this happened. When success comes, even if they are the cause behind it, I will say, I did it. It is my credit. This is material nature. This is the effect of Maya. So, this is one more key to remain connected, is to not take credit for the successes that come in our life by the mercy of Krishna. And another way of connecting with the Lord's potency and power is to always remember the Lord through the process of hearing and chanting, and also one of the methods of Navada Bhakti. But the most powerful method of getting linked with the Lord for His mercy is to remember Him through the process of hearing and chanting. And now we should also consider what are the things that disconnect us from the mercy and the power of the Lord. And these things we have to take really seriously, so that even though we are sincere, we are hardworking, if we do these mistakes in ignorance, then we will get disconnected from the power of the Lord. One is, the first and foremost is all of his Nama Aparadha. There are 10 offenses explained. And the first offense is Vaishnava Aparadha. However great devotees we may be, however great chanters of Hare Krishna Mahamantra we may be, and however great services we may be doing, all these are considered insignificant and useless if one offends one's devotee, Krishna's devotee. It's like we go to the richest person in the world, and we are very close friends with him, and we have adored him, praised him, and he has given us so many gifts, and he loves us, we have given him gifts, and we just offend his child on the way back home. Then what he will do? He'll throw all the gifts and praises out of the window and chase you to punish you, because he loves his son. So similarly, if we claim to love the Lord, serve the Lord, and get empowered by his mercy and realize his mercy, read scriptures and doing efforts to serve him, but we keep knowingly, unknowingly, due to our anarthas, keep offending devotees. And what happens? Empowerment, disconnection, empowerment, disconnection, finally disconnection forever. This is what happens. Because Lord may forgive you and you may beg forgiveness from the devotees whom you offended, but the tendency of offending doesn't go, then there will be permanent disconnection. So we may build big, big temples, and we may distribute thousands of books, and we may raise crores of rupees for the projects of Krishna consciousness, and we have lived as brahmacharis or sannyasis or dedicated grihasthas and done so many services. But at the end, we will lose ourselves from the company of devotees if we offend devotees. And Ramananda Rai told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the most miserable situation that I know of is to be away from the company of devotees. So I may leave the association of devotees and go. I don't want to be with these people. I will go out and take a job in different place and don't want to see the faces of devotees again. At least it's Bombay temple devotees I don't want to see. I'll go to Pune temple or Hyderabad temple, you know. But if we go with the same offensive mentality and we think we are doing great things, but ultimately we will lose taste in chanting Hare Krishna, lose taste in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and lose taste for any service to Krishna, and we'll land up in doing meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. Without quoting names, I want to tell you this, that we offend devotees, or for some reason we give up the company of devotees, we'll have to be landing up in the hand of Maya, in the lap of Maya. And lap of Maya means illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. The four pillars of sin: cheating, murder, looting people, and manipulation in politics. So we have to be very careful. From the first of 10 offenses is offending devotees. And the last of 10 offenses is what? sense gratification. Again, that is one activity when we engage ourselves in sinful activities while performing devotional service side by side, then we keep getting disconnected from the mercy of Krishna. This is another powerful activity. When we engage in Vishaya Bhoga and Krishna consciousness cannot go together. In Christianity, it said you cannot love God and mammon together. Either you be with Maya or be with Krishna. You cannot have both things. We cannot have best of both. Many people want to always say, no, we should be best in our profession, best in our money earning, best in our fame, and best in Krishna consciousness also. Well, if Krishna wants, like the, in the case of Pandavas, he finally gave them best of both, but that is his desire. On our own, we cannot expect and get that without the mercy of Krishna. So we have to be very clear in this understanding. But from our side, we should only desire Sri Krishna and his service and the devotee association. From his side, if he wants to give us fame, fine, but that fame is his gift to us. Nothing to identify with that from our side. And in that sense gratification also, of we know that breaking of regulative principles. For devotees who have given up the activities of sense gratification and the four principles, to break the four regulative principles means also getting disconnected. And last is asat sangha. Giving up the company of devotees will also disconnect us from the mercy of the Lord. So, in short, we all have to know that to the degree we humbly and gratefully accept the reality around us, the facts around us, that's happening around us, and we need and we become humble and surrendered souls to accept the will of the Lord and allow the Lord to do whatever he wants to do with us, then we get fully connected to the grace and the mercy of the Lord. We also read a verse here, Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim. We chant many times this one. By the mercy of the Lord, even the dumb man can speak and sing poetries. And the lame man can climb the mountains and become a great mountaineer. But at the end of becoming a mountaineer, if a lame man feels, see, look at me, how powerful I am. Then immediately the mercy is withdrawn. Because in the beginning of, we read the purport, Prabhupada says, whenever Krishna wants, he'll give the powers, and whenever he wants, he'll withdraw the powers. In case of Arjuna, he didn't commit any offense. In case of Arjuna, he did not disobey the order of Guru. But still Krishna did this to him to show that there was some purpose in giving these powers to you. And now these astounding powers you don't need, so that I have withdrawn from you. And the Prabhupada makes a very beautiful statement. He says that these astounding powers were not the means for Arjuna to go back to Godhead. What is the means of going back to Godhead? Pure devotional service. Not the Divyastras, not the Gandhi Dhanusha, not the arrows, and not the chariot, and not the horses. These are all external means. And they are always temporary. The external means will always be temporary. They will never remain with you forever. Whatever is achieved on the level of soul, that will remain eternally with us and will go with us. And whatever is achieved on the levels lower than soul, that is intellect or mind or senses or our surroundings or our life, is all going to be taken away from us in the course of time. So if you cultivate and acquire wealth on spiritual platform, that will come with us, that will go with us, remain with us and go with us. And even in case of Arjuna, all those prowesses that he achieved from heavenly planets or earthly planets by the mercy of Krishna only, they did not accompany him forever. What accompanied him forever? His being friend with Krishna, his being a devotee of Krishna, his surrendered nature, his humility, his obedience, his accepting the will of Krishna as a perfect thing in life. He's identifying with the will of the Lord, that he took away power from me. I accept it. Thank you, my Lord. He didn't give bad words to Krishna. You know, see, look at that person who went away and made me bereft and made me look like a fool and clown in the world. He didn't say that. He's actually, Prabhupada is explaining, he's actually glorifying Krishna by showing him the truth, that I should not keep faith in the weapons that I had. My faith should be in the process of devotion that I have for Krishna. That is my real asset. My asset is not Gandiva Dhanusha or the arrows and the astra that I achieved from Swargalokas. Arjuna realized by this activity of Krishna that my asset is pure bhakti. And by that power of pure bhakti only, I will be protected and safe and making progress in this world and the next world in the hell or heaven or even in Golok Vrindavan. Wherever I am, my asset is not even being close to Krishna physically. My asset is not to joke with Krishna. My asset is my devotion and my service to Krishna. That is the essence of the whole understanding. And by that we can understand how glorious Arjuna is actually. He was not sad because he lost in the battle with coward men. He was sad because he could not fulfill the order of Krishna by taking his women to Hastinapur. And he was sad because he lost the company of Krishna as his friend. He was missing him in separation. He was not actually morose because he lost the power of his Gandiva. We also have to understand in our life, we may gain a lot of assets and a lot of external things in the process of surrendering to our Guru and Krishna. Now we may get fame or some position and some followers and some power in speech or something. We may convert people's lives and through our words and all. Everything may happen. But we have to know these are not the permanent things. People who may come, they may go also tomorrow. We don't know. What will remain constant is our perpetual desire to serve Krishna and the order of Gurudev constantly. That is what the essence of this pastime is. Prabhupada said the essence of the pastime is humility that Arjuna had in accepting whatever Krishna had done with him. So, when the dumb person can speak by the power of the Lord and the now speaking person becomes great, becomes proud of his speeches, then he will lose the power. Similarly, when a lame man will climb the mountains and attribute all that credit to Krishna, then he will always remain powerful. So there is a different purport to this sloka, Mukam Karoti Vachalam. Yes, by the power of Guru, an order of the Guru, following order of Guru, a dumb man can speak, but he should never identify with the power of speech to his own strength and never take credit for that. So always remember. And we become proud ourselves, then the power is withdrawn. And by the exam, by using Arjuna, Krishna has showed us that he can withdraw anything from our life. As it was discussed in the morning, that life itself will be taken away from us one day. This life which is could be full of Krishna consciousness, could be full of Krishna conscious achievements, could be so many Krishna conscious things, even that very life will be also taken away from us. So we can only take away with us while we are going away from this world, from this body, is our attitude of serving Guru and Krishna and fulfilling their desires and pleasing the devotees and pleasing Guru Maharaj. That way, in this life, we will be connected with the grace, and the next life also will be always remaining connected with the grace of the Lord. And all that power that is required to serve Him, all that power that is required to give Krishna consciousness to others, will be always available, provided we always maintain this mood and perform our sadhana to maintain this mood. Not perform our sadhana to become famous or to become powerful or to become guru. One time in Mira Road, there were two young boys talking to one another. Kya banna hai aapko? Kya banna chahte hai? So one boy said, hum log guru ban jate hai, guru. तो गुरु बनने से बहुत यू नो बहुत अच्छा रहता है. सो वी गेट सेपरेट प्लेट टू ईट, पीपल फॉलो बालो दंडवत प्रणाम टू यू, मेनी गार्लैंड्स कम, रिस्पेक्ट कम्स टू वेर एवर यू गो, कार कम्स टू यू, दिस एंड दैट. हम लोग गुरु बनना चाहिए. सो दिस इज अ जोक ऑफ कोर्स, चाइल्ड इनोसेंटली वट एवर ही इज ऑब्जर्विंग हिज एमिंग हिज लाइफ टू बिकम. But as we make progress and become mature, we understand that even the position of a guru also, for a guru, is not permanent. The service that we have to our spiritual master is only permanent. And the opportunity to fulfill the order of Guru Maharaj is permanent. The order also may change. The order may exactly become opposite after some years. Is that right? Today, we were telling people that everybody should come for Sunday feast, everybody should come for Janmashtami, and now we are telling don't come to all those who are bona fide counselees and devotees should refrain from coming to this temple. I said, what kind of movement is this? One day one order, another order. But all these orders are given as per the situations, as per time, place and circumstances. The essence is same, even when we tell you to come and don't tell you to come. And we have to follow both the instructions with equal zeal and enthusiasm. So all the devotees are looking for some other temples and some other programs, some other yatras on Janmashtami time. So that all the new people who cannot come otherwise, who will come on this time, they should get the opportunity. So what is the idea of giving the previous instruction is mercy. What is the idea now is also mercy. Only the objects have changed. Now, previously we were the objects of mercy, and we have received enough opportunity to be here. Now let others who have not got the opportunity should get the opportunity. So we should not keep the place occupied by our presence. So even orders will change. One sannyasi is told by Prabhupada to stay in Vrindavan. Another sannyasi told by Prabhupada, you should never stay in Vrindavan, you should go out and preach. So they were confused. They asked Prabhupada, you are making me count the bricks and make the construction in Vrindavan and trying to make me stay in Vrindavan. You told a sannyasi that you should go out and preach. He says, whatever is required for whichever person is told to them. Whatever is good for an individual devotee for spiritual progress, that is told to them. Somebody is told to cook in the temple. Somebody is told to travel and preach. Somebody is told to sweep in the temple. Somebody is told to become maybe receptionist at the gate of the temple. It is customized. Everything in spiritual life is fully customized. We should have faith in that. We should not compare him and me and him and me. Why there is difference in instructions? All the plan of Krishna in Krishna consciousness is fully customized and personalized, because he is a supreme person and we are all also persons. So everything is personal and customized. We have to have faith. What will remain constant is only our attitude of service to Krishna. Thank you very much. Hari Bol. Time is up, I think. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Let us very sincerely pray to Krishna that not for the power or the empowerment, but for the sake of remaining a devotee of his own, we should pray that we should remain connected with the Lord through all the bona fide means of connection, so that we always remain at his shelter. Whether he wants to give us power or not, that is up to him. But let us at least pray to Krishna to help us to remain connected to his lotus feet, to the bona fide methods. Hari Bol. Prabhupada ki jai.